Wolf, and Luke.
Wow.
Wow.
Ron Wolfley. Luke Lipinski.
Don't waste all your best material this early in the show, because I want people to keep listening.
Wolf and Luke. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Live from the Auction Community Studios, hour number three of the show. The Phoenix Suns just continue to roll, and to talk about it and join us right now on the 72 Sold Sports Line is Jay Williams of the Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Max show on ESPN every morning. Jay, thanks for the time, man. How's when you watch a game like that last night? I know you can't take a whole lot from the Suns beating Utah and they're missing all their players, but another fourth quarter win for this team. That's a pretty good characteristic to have, I guess.
Well, a couple of things. Good to talk to you boys.
Yeah, what up, Jay?
Always, what up, Wolf? It was always good. Consider I got into a fender bender today and my car got smashed from behind. But wow. I'm okay.
Ooh.
And I'm here.
And you're here.
I got into a yelling match in the street and I decided not to be that angry person in New York City.
Why am I laughing?
I just want to say that. Wolf, I don't know, Luke, I don't know what to do. You know, when you get into fights that almost turn into fist fights, I'm like, I'm a grown man. I don't want to fight. But you just ran into the back of my car because you were texting. Anyway,
But you're good though.
Yes.
I'm good.
Okay.
Or I may not be good if I can make a little extra money. Well, it depends. We'll talk that.
Oh, my neck.
What? My neck is so sore, Wolf. I don't know why.
Jay.
But I know I can't help myself.
I know. That's all right. Just breathe.
You know, when you got guys like CP3 guys, this team is special, man. Mm. And I don't care who's out for other teams. I think one of the things that I've learned as I've grown is that, you know, doing the morning show is tough. Every day you have to bring it. You know, regardless of what happens in your life, you having a fender bender, your kids being sick, you know, you have a job to do. And there are people that look forward to hearing what you think and being entertained and connecting with you in the morning. And I look at teams that constantly show up, and I really want to reward that because I think that's important. And I don't think people recognize how hard that is. And one of the things I learned to appreciate more and more about this Suns team is that there's a burning passion to show up on a daily basis. And I think that deserves to be commended, guys. I really do. And this Suns team shows up.
You know, it's amazing right there that you feel that way, Jay, because that's exactly how I feel as a former player, just looking at this team and the consistency in which they play. It is absolutely, what is that? Is that coming from you, Jay? What is that sound?
I'm in a taxi because I got into the fender bender and I'm talking to you guys at the same time. I'm trying to pay this taxi man. He deserves a great receipt. Thank you. You get a bonus because you're great.
Oh my goodness!
I'm trying to multitask here.
Okay, you're doing a good job, Jay. You're doing a good job.
This is amazing.
I can tell you right now. Sometimes I watch the Suns and it almost seems boring. Because they're so consistently great. And that is, as a former player, I got to tell you, I respect that greatly, Jay.
So it's really funny that you use the word "well, boring," right? There is there's something that is so not boring about boring when you can show up and as a fan, you know what the hell to expect, right? Like, oh, effort. A guy fighting to get over a screen. That's boring. That's not boring in my book. You know,
Devin Booker hitting the floor, right?
Exactly. Devin Booker. I love when I see Bridges get over a screen. I love when I see people contest shots. And when I go to games and I'm at, you know, oh, this is a big game, and I see a guy just kind of like nonchalantly float out there, not a contested shot. I'm like, see, that's what blue-collar teams do. And that's why, you know, I've been already going down this road, but especially this year, I know you're not supposed to be fans of teams and you're supposed to be objective, but I was sitting there saying, like, I want to see Phoenix be rewarded. Please let this happen. Please let this team reach their glory point so we can tell young people, mm-hmm. like, see, this is how you actually play the game of basketball.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can have stars that are bought into a culture of playing hard each and every night, and you can be rewarded by an NBA championship. That's what I want to happen.
Jay, you mentioned that culture. We're talking to Jay Williams. That culture, it's been impressive to watch because these guys, it feels like they're almost just a bunch of college buddies that happen to be great at basketball. But what's additionally great is they'll invite a guy in like Bismack Biyombo, and he fits right in. And Chris Paul's glowing about him. What is that?
You know why? Because when you come into any situation, when expectations are set, and it starts from the top down, there's no BS, guys. And Wolf, you know about this too, and I hear people do this so many times. Whenever you find a team of excuses, you'll find a team that doesn't reach their top goal, right? Mm-hmm. Well, it was this, or, hey, guys, I couldn't do the call because I was in the fender bender, or, hey, guys, I couldn't do the call because, you know, I was trying to pay the taxi guy. Hey, guys, I couldn't do the call because there was a siren in the background. Why are you telling me all the reasons why you can't do something?
You got to speak
it.
Truth.
And it's so like when your mindset as a team is built off, you know, why we can do something, then for anybody that comes into that, if they can't buy into that, bye. Yeah. We don't have time for that because that's how we're all connected and how we operate. And that's what's set up from the top down.
Okay, Jay, I have to ask you this right now. When you think of the NFL weekend, what story? Because there's a lot of them out there. What story do you think of?
So I got to tell you guys, and I'm on it. And I know that a lot of people try to poo-poo it. There's something different about Joe Burrow.
Yes, there really is. There really is.
I love that you went there.
And I came back from meeting my really good friend, a guy, Roger Mason, in the city. He played with me with the Chicago Bulls. And we were having a cigar. And I'm having a cigar. And I'm like, yeah, I'm like Joe Burrow right now. Like, there is this grown man style that he has to him. And look, their O-line needs help. I mean, a guy got sacked 9 times. But there's something that makes you believe in his poise, how he can take control of games, the relationship he has. You know, we had Coach Ogeron on the other day, and he was saying that, you know, in the offseason that Joe and Ja'Marr Chase, you know, it was mandated throughout the offseason that he had to catch 10,000 balls, right? Like, and they would keep doing these things on a daily basis. Like, those reps, that continuity, that experience of knowing who a guy is and a guy leading a team to the AFC championship in his second year after going through a torn ACL, it just continues to blow my mind. And regardless of whether they win or lose, like what a great foundation for this team to move forward. It's incredible to watch, man.
Jay Williams, I can't believe you called in with everything going on, man. I hope your day gets better. Thank you.
Hey, Luke, no excuses.
No excuses.
That's what winners do. No excuses.
Appreciate you, Jay.
All right, boys.
Okay, man.
Thanks a lot. That is Jay Williams joining us on the 72 Sold Sports Line. Get your price at 72sold.com. No excuses.
Man, I love that right there, honestly. He was who's talking?
That was one of the best interviews I've ever. Like, he took us through downtown New York.
Yeah.
You could hear the sirens
and
the taxis.
That was really different.
Felt like a movie.
Well done, Jay.
All right. When we come back, Michael Bidwell is not happy with how the Cardinals season ended. So now how do you go about fixing it? That is next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Wolf and Luke Middays, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
All right, there's a story up on NFL.com today, and it references a story on the Arizona Republic talking about Michael Bidwell and his frustration with how the season ended. Wolf just perked up right when they started singing.
Exactly. Words matter.
We are the only show with rejoins with words, I think.
It's beautiful right now. Honestly, it is. What were you saying, though? You were saying something about Michael Bidwell?
Michael Bidwell and his frustration with the way the Cardinals season ended, which you would expect, I would say hope. I want an owner who's invested enough where it's not just, hey, oh yeah, that's my thing I do on the weekends with my other business that makes me billions of dollars. And oh yeah, I do own a sports team. Okay, how are they doing? Like, I want an owner who's like, yeah, I know our exact record. I know how we lost and I'm not happy about it.
Yeah, he's a fan, emotionally invested.
And he's not happy about it, and he shouldn't be. But we got into that a little bit earlier, Wolf. The real question now is, what are you going to do about it?
What are you going to do about it? Honestly, this is something we've talked about, and the more I consider it, ladies and gentlemen, the more I think, man, you got to fix the offense. And it sounds so weird to say that when you have the kind of talent the Arizona Cardinals have, especially on the offensive side of the ball. But I think, and I've said this before, but I think the offense has been at the crux. It's been at the center of the problem over the last two collapses in the last two seasons. So how do you fix it? What do you do? I think first and foremost, Kyler has got to improve his preparation and continue to develop as a franchise quarterback, because that's what he is. He's got to continue to improve in preparation. Listen, accountability is something we talk about an awful lot. It has to be discussed. And anytime you're going to talk accountability with players, humility will be the factor that determines how successful that conversation is going to go. Yep. Humility. It's so critical right now. Kyler needs to improve his preparation, and that means you've got to have a conversation. His humility, Kyler Murray's humility, will decide whether he gets better or not, Basinonians.
Well, he got humiliated on Monday night, so I guess that's maybe the first step towards that. I mean, your point about it being the offense is where you got to start with this. I don't know how you argue that. So their last six games this season, Wolf, and this was a team, remember, earlier in the year that was, now you're putting up, what was it? Okay, 38 in the opener against Tennessee, 34 against Minnesota, 31 against Jacksonville, 37 against LA. That's your first four games of the season when this team looked borderline unstoppable. Low scoring win over San Francisco, but still a win, 37 against Cleveland, 31 against Houston. What is that, seven of your first eight games? You're well over 31 points per game in those.
Yes.
And then
rolling.
Those final six games where they go 1-5, they average 19.5 points per game.
There it is. Bada bing, bada boom.
That, I mean, that's like, it's not quite just half, but it's a huge chunk off what you were doing when you were the Cardinals everybody thought could make a run.
So right there, I think, that's where you've got to start with Kyler Murray improving and improving his preparation and continuing to develop as a franchise quarterback. That is number one. Number two is get D-Hop healthy. I'm sorry. In retrospect, once again, you look back, DeAndre Hopkins, when the E-Hop was actually out there, this offense was rolling. And DeAndre Hopkins, I think, simplifies a lot of things, not only for the quarterback and Kyler Murray, but also for the coach that is calling the plays in Cliff Kingsbury. You got to sign James Conner, number three. Bring him back. Bring back Justin Pugh, number four, and then find a two-way tight end that will bring balance to the offense and run down situations. If that's Max Williams, once again, if he's healthy and he's ready to go, that is fantastic. Because again, I'll go back to week five, the first 5 weeks of the season, and look at the offense for the Arizona Cardinals and how well they played offensively. And Max Williams was a big part of that.
Yeah, he was. And you know, just as you're talking, like, I'm thinking how we were talking at the end of last season. Okay, well, you can't be going to Chris Streveler, a guy who's never thrown an NFL pass, with your season on the line. You got to get more physical. Steve Keim said you need more leadership. I'm just thinking of the job that Steve Keim did. Now, obviously, it wasn't perfect because they bowed out in the first round of the playoffs. But a lot of the stuff that needed to be addressed, or that was identified at least as needing to be addressed at the end of last season, he did. You know, he goes out and gets Colt McCoy. He goes out and gets James Conner. He goes out and gets J.J. Watt. And I'm putting myself in the GM shoes right now. It's got to be especially frustrating because you got to be looking around saying, I put the pieces together. This shouldn't happen again.
Yes. I understand what you're saying right there, and I'm not saying I disagree with it at all. But I need to make this point again in regard to Kyler Murray and his humility. It's going to be huge going forward. It truly is. I think this is the story of the offseason. Kyler's humility will decide whether he gets better or not, period. He's got to own what has happened. He has to own what happened in the playoffs, learn from it, admit he's not a finished product, even though he's been to two Pro Bowls already in 3 years. He's got to admit that he's not a finished product. and let the embarrassment drive him.
Well, he's got to look. I mean, I have to assume he's at least paying attention to the playoffs. He's got to look and see, okay, well, there's Josh Allen. There's Joe Burrow still in it. Joe Burrow is actually a year in the league younger than Kyler. I think he's actually older than Kyler in actual years. But in terms of NFL experience, Joe Burrow might win the Super Bowl this year. Like, everybody's just kind of like, oh, Joe Burrow, that's not... He might win the Super Bowl. He's two games away from winning the Super Bowl. I don't think he's going to, but if I'm a quarterback, if I'm a young quarterback in this league with my eyes on being great in this league, and I'm looking around and I'm saying, okay, well, a lot of these guys are still playing, or at least they were into the second round. I mean, that would drive me. That alone would drive me. If my contemporaries are getting better and I'm just kind of sitting around waiting for next year.
Yes, there's no doubt about that. And once again, I just think the physicality on this team, Steve Keim was on the right path. He was on the right path when he wanted to get more physical and he wanted to bring better leaders into the locker room. But he was on the right path in terms of being on the field, the tangible. What is the tangible? We're going to knock your face off. That's what we're going to do. And a lot of times, too, you have to have a scheme that allows your offensive linemen to knock your face off, allows your offensive linemen to come off the ball. And this is why I think they need to continue to expand this so much of the time. So much of the time when you put a quarterback under center, that's exactly what you're trying to do. A power scheme is trying to literally hammer a hole into the front seven. It's trying to punch a hole into the front seven. Now, once again, that's not the only thing you want to be able to do. You want the zone scheme, of course. You want man blocking. When you get into a shotgun, you want to be able to do it all. And that's the next step schematically for this team on offense. And that's where the heart of the problem lies, in my opinion. You got to fix the offense. You got to keep them from collapsing down the stretch the way and to the degree you just let us know.
Yeah, I mean, it was 19.5 points, and included in there is that win over Dallas. Included in there is a 38-30 loss to Seattle. So let's go even, you can go even more in depth. Okay, 12 against Detroit? 12 points against Detroit? As you have said on a few occasions since that the game last Monday, the Detroit game should have set off more warning flags or more warning sounds than it did. And honestly, Wolf, it's the 12 points. It's the never being in the game against Detroit. Like, Detroit did hang with some decent teams this year. They almost beat Baltimore early in the season. Took like a 66-yard field goal off the crossbar to beat them. Detroit was bad, don't get me wrong.
Is that the one Dan Campbell shed a tear?
I believe that was the Ravens game, yeah. Like, if you lose to Detroit 21-17 or something, that's not good. But it's a whole new level when you're never in the game. I mean, they got run off the field by Detroit. 12 points, and then 11 points in the playoff game. So even if you don't want to say, okay, the last six games, there's a lot that could happen in there, well, then look at two of the most pivotal games, I guess you could say, in there. If you just beat Detroit, you probably win the division, and you put up 12. If you beat the Rams, you move on to the next round of the playoffs, and you put up 11. It's the offense. It's not all the offense, but that's where you got to start.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that one right there. It is the offense, but you got to start with Kyler Murray when you talk about that. How do you fix the issue right here? They got to get better in all three phases. They got to get better offensively, as we've discussed. I think that would be my priority. Defensively, they got to get tougher on the line of scrimmage. There's no doubt about that. I think J.J. Watt and a healthy J.J. Watt, hopefully he'll be healthy next season. I think that will improve their rush defense considerably, but I think they need some other wide bodies as well. Bring some defensive tackles in, some nose guards, three techniques. They need to go out there and create some competition inside that defensive line room.
Real quick here before the break, too, going back to the offense for a second, how different do you think the receiving room will look? Because it could look a lot different.
A lot.
I mean, A.J. Green, Christian Kirk, they're not signed necessarily.
No, I think there's going to be a huge turnover in the wide receiver room.
So just Hopkins, Rondale Moore, and some new guys.
Yeah, some new guys right there. And I would imagine maybe Christian Kirk is going to be a guy that might be involved. But, man, it's always it is always a situation where the grass is greener on the other side The grass is greener on the other side, and not only that, you covet what you don't have. Christian Kirk is a known commodity to the Arizona Cardinals. To any other team that is out there that wants Christian Kirk, man, you covet what you don't have. And those two forces come together, that and the grass is greener on the other side, to form this free agent frenzy that I think Christian Kirk is going to get paid money that maybe the Arizona Cardinals don't want to pay.
Yeah. It's the reality of life in the NFL, right? So it just takes one or two other teams to get into a bidding war for your guy, and all of a sudden you get priced out of somebody that I'm sure they'd love to keep Christian Kirk around, but how much are you really going to pay for Christian Kirk if you're the Arizona Cardinals right now? Text us your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up, the Suns have extended James Jones. What went into the decision? We're going to talk to senior NBA writer for The Undefeated, Mark Spears. He'll join us next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
I'm a realist and an optimist.
Wolf and Luke Middays, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
All right, there's a story up on The Undefeated from earlier today. The title is Suns GM James Jones signs multi-year contract extension. That's from this morning, and the guy who wrote it is Mark J. Spears, who joins us right now on the 72sold.com sports line. Mark, first of all, thank you for the time. We appreciate it. I guess to start with this, it seems like this would just kind of be a slam dunk, right, considering the job James Jones has done here so far?
Definitely. I mean, you got the general manager of the year who's very, you know, humble about it, but certainly appreciative of the award. Didn't ask for any fanfare or didn't want it during the playoffs last year. But if you think about what he's done in terms of getting Chris Paul, who I definitely think should get some MVP talk, to even like picking up a guy like Bismack Biyombo, who, yeah, I didn't even know he was a free agent. You know, I was like, he's not on the team? And he's looked great so far. There's been worse of moves early on that people scratched their head about that have worked out. And so I think he's done a fantastic job. He hired Monty Williams and certainly is growing as one of the GMs in the league.
Mark, what makes James Jones such a good general manager, in your opinion?
I think the combination of played before, he kind of, you know, sees it from a different angle, from a player's angle. Then, you know, you're around Pat Riley for a while, right? So I'm sure he learned a lot from the Heat. They did things, and he always do a magnificent job of not only drafting, but finding, like, kind of diamonds in the rough. And I think James took a lot from them. And just a smart guy, you know. I mean, if he he doesn't toot his own horn, if you didn't know who he was, you wouldn't know who he was, right? He kind of just keeps to himself and hides in his suite and everything. But I think another thing, too, is he's not scared to do risky things, which I think is a key thing for success for a general manager. Like, when you guys got Chris Paul, I thought it was amazing, but yeah, I was in the minority. Like, oh, wow, he's so old. Why would you do that? He vaulted them to the finals, you know. Getting JaVale McGee and getting the best out of him, like trading for Shamit. Like, he's done some really, really good things and taking some risks, making draft trade that brought Cameron Johnson in. Like, he doesn't sit on his hands. What I like about him, he's just not a dormant GM. I think there's some execs in the league who their best not to make a mistake, keep their job. I don't think he's like that at all.
We're talking to Mark J. Spears here on the Suns giving James Jones the extension earlier today. And Mark, one of the other things along the lines of what you just said, you know, he comes in and he was here when the Suns drafted DeAndre Ayton. Now, he isn't the guy that technically drafted him, but it has been impressive that he has put pieces around DA that have clearly helped DA hit another level, too.
Yeah, you know, like Chris Paul, he has kind of been his, like, Mr. Miyagi, right, for DeAndre Ayton. there was a lot of DA had a lot of stuff that was going wrong in the beginning. You know, and I went to the Bahamas with him when he first got drafted. And there's, you know, such high hopes, but then you have like Luka hanging over you. You have Trae Young hanging over you. He missed games and for various reasons, but then, you know, Monty, father figure to DA. He brings in Chris Paul, who basically tells DA, look, you're the title unless you play great. Mm. I expect you to play great. This is what you could be. That confidence that James and Monty and Chris and Book instilled in him, made him an elite player in this league now, elite big man in this league, and, you know, made it to where last season I don't talk about Luka and Trey, and I don't know that many people do anymore in regards to DA. Like, he's paid his way, and those guys, James most notably, had a lot to do with it.
Mark, Chris Paul, of course, is, man, such a central piece to the Phoenix Suns, but why is he not in MVP discussion more? Because I don't hear a lot of noise surrounding him.
Funny, I talked to old Arizona superstar Tom Tolbert the other day on the radio out here in the Bay Area. He mentioned Book. Why doesn't Book get enough credit? And I'm the biggest Devin Booker fan as there is. And I said, yeah, I said, but you could say the same for Chris Paul.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of times, whether it's basketball fans or media, we get so enamored with scoring. Scoring is like the sexy thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh man, he scored 30, or like, but you lose sight of leadership. That can't be shown in a box score. Competitive fire, the ability to make others better. Like, that doesn't go on the score sheet. And there's so many things I think Chris does for this team that you can't put with numbers. So, yeah, I mean, I don't vote anymore for other reasons for another day. But if I had voted last year, Chris would have been high on my MVP list. And certainly such would be the case now, because I don't think – the Suns make it to the finals. I don't think they're leading the NBA right now without Chris Paul on the roster.
Well, Mark Spears, we appreciate the time, man. We love the story up on the Undefeated, too. Great news for Suns fans today. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks a lot. That is it's Mark J. Spears joining us on the 72 Sold Sportsline. Get your price at 72sold.com. You know, one of the things he kind of – it looked like he was – or it sounded like he was going towards there at the end. As far as the MVP, Wolf – when you have Devin Booker and Chris Paul, this is one of those situations, too, where they kind of either voters look and they're like, oh, he's doing it because of this guy, or are voters like split and they're like, OK, well, I prefer Booker and I prefer Chris Paul. It almost feels like when you have two candidates like that, neither one of them ever wins.
Yeah, no, I think you're right about that. But it really is interesting. Chris Paul and the fact that the Suns are the best team in the world right now, the best team in the world at 37-9. And everybody knows Chris Paul and the job that he does offensively, defensively as well. He's right up there in steals, as a matter of fact. I think he's number two in the association in steals, and number one in assists. This guy, and he's on the best team in the world. I just don't know why he doesn't get more discussion on that. Again, I'm not saying that he should win it. I'm just saying right now, I'm surprised he's not in the conversation.
The 37 wins. So what is that, 37 wins out of 46 games? I'm just looking at the last 6 years. And obviously last year they went 51-21. The previous 5 years, they didn't win 37 games all year.
Yeah.
And the year before that, they went 39-43. It's like, you're going to pass your win total for most of the last decade in each season. You're going to pass it by like the All-Star break.
It's incredible.
It is an unreal run. And James Jones is the architect behind it. He didn't draft Devin Booker. That was a while ago. He didn't draft DeAndre Ayton, but he put pieces around those two guys to get them to this point, because just Devin Booker, as good as he is, that's not enough to win in the Western Conference in the NBA. Text us your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up, actually, Sammy Hagar and George Thorogood, they're not coming up, but they are heading to Ak-Chin Pavilion for their Crazy Times tour. You were like, hey, we're talking to Sammy Hagar.
I was like, what?
Tickets go on sale this Friday at 10, but you can win a pair now by visiting the contest page on arizonasports.com. Coming up, Vance Joseph. What happens if he leaves, and how about the big coaching news in the NFL today out of New Orleans? That's next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The Red Rocker.
Wolf and Luke middays, 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Well, I haven't heard this song in forever. I almost just broke the mic, too.
Puddle of Mud?
Yeah. Apparently that's what happens when I hear Puddle of Mud. I just start breaking equipment in the studio. So, Wolf, we're going to switch back over to football here. And we're going to get into this Vance Joseph story where he certainly seems to be one of the main guys on a short list for the Dolphins right now. And we were going through and we were looking at, there's a couple reports out there over the last 24 hours of like, hey, you know, it seems like Vance Joseph might be the guy. And then there's another one that says, okay, but maybe pump the brakes because Stephen Ross might want somebody else and maybe Vance Joseph is the backup. We were doing that earlier in the show, right?
Yeah, right.
Then Sean Payton left the Saints.
Okay, Sean Payton is no longer going to coach the New Orleans Saints. He has stepped down.
Yeah.
Okay, wait a minute now. Have we verified the retirement talk on Sean Payton? Has somebody verified that and said that's what he's doing? He's retiring.
Well, he's retiring from the Saints.
Well, still, once again, you know where I'm going on that.
No,
there's a big difference between saying I'm not going to coach the Saints next year and I'm retiring. Big difference. We need clarification on that.
Everything I have seen is worded as stepping down from head coach of the Saints after 15 years.
Correct.
That's what I've pretty consistently seen.
Okay, so that doesn't make you think he's retiring, right? He's stepping down from coaching the Saints the last 15 years.
Here's the last two tweets from Ian Rappaport and Adam Schefter.
Okay, good. This is good.
Rappaport. Sean Payton has informed the Saints that he's stepping away. Adam Schefter, Saints holding a press conference to announce the departure of head coach Sean Payton. So that just means he's not the Saints head coach.
Okay, yeah. Interesting right there. All right. He's stepping down, stepping away. Man, familiarity breeds contempt, does it not?
And
I'm just saying.
And not having a quarterback all year breeds contempt, too.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it got personal right there, and Sean Payton wants to step away. Maybe he just thinks his time in New Orleans is up.
15 years. You know, you watch them this year, and they beat Tampa twice. They shut him out the second time, but they just did not have a quarterback all season. It's really kind of remarkable that they were still in the playoff race in Week 18 with, what, Trevor Siemian and
Taysom
Hill.
Well, that's
Taysom
what happens
Hill.
When you get 14 teams into the postseason.
I guess that's true. So either way. You mentioned this earlier when we first found out that Sean Payton's not New Orleans head coach anymore. Maybe this explains why coming into today, it's now 9, but coming into today, it was 8 teams that still didn't have a coach. And it's been 2 weeks since most of these guys got fired. The season ended 2 weeks ago.
This is fascinating to me. This is something I absolutely love talking about, Basinonians. And the reason being is because I've said this for decades, and it's been true for decades. The grapevine is vast and varied in the National Football League. And when I'm talking about the grapevine, I'm talking about, oh my goodness, all the second and third tier level conversations that go on between employees all over the National Football League. Somebody knew this was coming.
Yeah.
Somebody knew this was coming. And maybe if you're an owner, you're like, how in the world do we actually conduct a search for our next head coach? We know it's coming down about Sean Payton. How do we not interview him? How do we at least not ask for an interview, whether he says he's going to retire or not? Hey, Sean, I guarantee you now, we'd really like to talk to you about this. Right? Why would you not call Sean Payton? Well, you know what? Maybe this explains why there's been a lot of reticence, why owners are dragging their feet in regard to hiring a head coach, because maybe they knew this was coming at some point because of the grapevine, because of people talking. I believe it.
It's entirely, I wouldn't even say possible. That's probable. You know, there was that report. It wasn't even a report. It was like a throwaway at the end of a story that was out last week of like, oh, by the way, just like kind of tidbits around the NFL. Don't be surprised if Sean Payton. There was two other names. One of them was Sean McVay, but they separated McVay. And they were like, don't be surprised if you know one or two of these guys steps away and goes into a career in TV over the next couple years. And McVay specifically, they're like, it could be, you know, he's 35 years old. It might be three or four years.
I'll believe that when I see it.
That would be an absolute stunner. This is pretty surprising, though. I mean, if Sean Payton doesn't coach a team this year, and look, it could be, I don't think it would be a TV thing, but it could be. That was out there last week. It could be a just, hey, man, I've been an NFL head coach for 15 years. That means I haven't slept in 15 years.
Yeah.
Maybe he just wants a break. He'll get a job in a year or two if he wants one. Or to your point, maybe there's a team out there. Maybe he's like, hey, Miami wouldn't be bad. Denver wouldn't be bad.
Okay, he's 58 years old. At some point in time, do you sit there and say, how much is enough?
Probably much, not there, though.
How much is enough? And, you know, I'm 58 years old. Don't most people want to retire in their 50s? I don't know.
I always thought it was 65.
People? 65.
That's what I always heard.
Well, I mean, I understand 65. Yeah. That's, you
know, that's what I always heard.
It seems like, you know, that I get that. But I
know people that want to retire in their 20s.
I'm just saying, if you gave people the option of saying, would you rather 55 be the point that you retire? I'm just saying maybe there's a possibility you'd say yes on that one. He's 58 years old, but at some point in time, you got to do something. You can't just do nothing. You can't go from 100 to zero. And that's what it would be like for Sean Payton if, in fact, he did retire. There's no way that's going to happen.
Can you imagine being an NFL head coach and being a coach of the same team for 15 years and you're just locked in for 15 years and you've won a Super Bowl and you're pretty consistently a contender, and all of a sudden one day you're just like, I guess the living room needs painted.
Yeah.
I'll just sit here at this table and stare at my wall.
What do you do after that? What do you do?
Coach the Broncos? I don't know.
I'm being serious about this, my brothers, but for so many guys that played in the National Football League, especially guys that played over 5 years, 5 years or more, it's so difficult when you walk away. You don't even know what to do. There's this separation from the game that you feel, and it's something that you've done since you've been a child for the most part. And then suddenly it's just gone. And you're out there and you're like, what is going on? Talk about the emperor's clothes.
Well, if I don't know what to do every year when the Super Bowl ends and I don't play in it, but like when football season's over, I'm like, okay, now what do I do?
Mm.
And that's just watching football.
Watching football.
I can't imagine what it's like to be the head coach.
There's a lot of guys, the NFLPA will tell you, there's a lot of guys that have a hard time transitioning from the National Football League, no matter how much money they have, transitioning from the NFL to the street, so to speak.
Yeah. No, it makes a lot of sense. So back to the Cardinals side of things here. Now you have eight, now you have nine head coaching vacancies.
Man.
Anybody that is holding out the thought that Cliff Kingsbury might get let go, because I know that's still a thought that's out there.
Yeah.
Do you really want to be the 10th team with a head coaching vacancy?
Why has there not been another head coach that has been hired yet? Why?
Somebody hired
somebody.
What are you
doing? What is going on? Who are they waiting for in these NFC championship or the AFC championship game as well? Who are they waiting for? Eric Bieniemy?
I mean, that's the name, right? That's what you think, but it's like, most of you could have had Eric Bieniemy last year or the year before, and now you've decided you can't, nobody can hire a coach?
Nobody's hired a coach, and there's eight vacancies?
Well, now there's nine.
That's right. That's over a quarter of the league. Ron Wolfley doing math live on the air.
To be fair, I did that math earlier.
Where?
You're taking my math.
Well, I could have done it anyways. Feel very confident about
that. Well, that's really a second thought that I had today. I did that math and the other thought.
This is truly amazing right now that Todd Bowles, what was that about Todd Bowles?
The Raiders expected to
the Raiders!
Todd Bowles for the head coaching position.
Yes! Oh, man, I would love to see Toddy in that, the silver and black right there.
Just blitz on every play.
I'm AJ!
That would require a team to hire a coach, though, and as we've seen, nobody's going to do that.
Okay, nobody's going to do that. And once again, if I were an owner and the whispers were out there that Sean Payton was going to step down, he was going to step down as the head coach of the New Orleans Saints, the first question I'd ask is he retiring? No, he's not retiring. He's stepping down. Would you not want to talk to Sean Payton?
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd want to.
There's not even another name that's on that level. I mean, I guess Harbaugh? I guess Jim Harbaugh would be the other name.
Yeah, Jim. You know, yeah. Jim, we'll get to you in a minute.
Oh, you'd go Payton over
Jim,
for sure.
Oh, my goodness. You know,
I mean,
if you had to say who you'd like to talk to first, you know, I know Jim Harbaugh.
I was going to say, you've never been in Sean Payton's convertible, have you?
He's not a fascinating conversation. I know Harbaugh and love Jim, by the way. But again, boring.
All right, so Giants, now Saints, Vikings, Dolphins, Texans, Broncos, Bears, Raiders. I'm forgetting somebody else. But any one of those teams wants the Jacksonville, obviously, perennially. So those nine teams, any of them want to hire a coach at some point. Yeah. If not, I guess the Cardinals have a tremendous advantage over nine teams because they actually do have a head coach.
And here's the whole thing about it. Sean Payton, you know, if in fact he still wants to coach, and we don't have confirmation on that either way right now, if he still wants to coach, he's going to pick maybe two teams that he's serious about, two teams that he might want to coach. It's not like he's going to talk to all nine. Not going to do.
No, why would
he's certainly he do? Not going to do that. Two teams, yeah, maybe.
There's no way he'd coach Jacksonville, is there? There's no way the allure of having Trevor Lawrence would be that good for. I think Jacksonville coaches down.
Jacksonville,
it is.
Jacksonville's awesome.
See, you did this earlier in the season.
You're not going to do this.
And then you went to Jacksonville.
You are so metro.
And then when you came back, you were like, Jacksonville's not that awesome.
You got to be kidding. No, I didn't say Jacksonville's not that awesome.
I feel like going into that Cardinals game, you're like, you said Jacksonville's awesome. And I think you even called me metro then. And then when you came back, you're like, that was kind of a weird place.
Hi, I'm Luke Lipinski, and I'm metro man.
Just saying Jacksonville is potentially a weird place. All right, we come back. James Jones will be in the Valley long term, and the Suns won again last night. And Bismack Biyombo was a big part of it again. We'll get into all that next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.